Thank you, Cody. Thank you, church. It is great to see you this morning. What a blessing it is to be a part of God's forever family. What a blessing it is to be a part of the Azalea City Church here in this community, this area. Jason said, if you're wearing a tie, you're either ninth man doing something else or preaching. I am wearing a tie today, and there is a reason why I'm wearing a tie today. Last night, my wife and I were able to be with a lot of great people. A lot of great people celebrating. Celebrating a birthday. I was invited to that, and it was indeed an honor to be there. And as we come together to celebrate this great lady, who I'm going to tell you in a minute, today is actually her birthday. As we come together to celebrate this great lady, and she's being the lady of the hour, I received the gift. I mean, that's my kind of party, right? No, seriously. Sister Joyce Dixon, happy birthday. Last night, we were able to be with her and her family. And there would come a moment when Chandra called me up and just was saying some great things, things that she probably exaggerated about me. Talking about her dad and was thanking me for helping with some things with her dad, and part of the gift that they gave was this tie. So I wear this tie today to honor my sweet sister who's celebrating her birthday. I'll let her tell you if she wants to how old she is today. But at the end of the day, I'm also wearing it to honor your great husband. And I love him very much. He's a great friend and a great brother. Certainly am thankful to be at Azalea. By the way, it's also Bree's birthday today. Look at her. She's like, Terry, why'd you do that? So two great ladies celebrating birthdays today. I'm off my norm because my heart is full. My heart is full, and I am going to tell you why. Today I'm preaching on the joy of the Lord. You see, we're talking about being living stones, and part of being a living stone is we have to live like Jesus. If we're going to live like Jesus, we've got to be full of joy. Today there are a lot of folks in here that are not necessarily full of happiness. I mean, there's family here that on Tuesday will have a great day of sadness. That's not happy, that's sad. But I would suggest to you they're still full of joy. There are people here today that not that long ago buried a loved one, received bad news, had to go through surgery, was very sick, and that's not happy. But it's full of joy. Every day of our lives, after we obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, I can't promise you that you're going to have every day be happy. But I can promise you, if we'll do the things we'll talk about today, we will always have joy. Today, my heart is full of joy. Even though I have tears in my eyes, it's because my heart is so full of joy. Didn't have this in my plans, but we had a great Bible class this morning. Listen, I am the teacher of that class, but I'm really just the discussion starter. I pick a topic and then I hear brilliance. Brilliance of men and women who have looked at the Bible with great hermeneutical skills and dissected it in a way that we can all take something from it. And that was my class this morning. From there, we go to fellowship. In fellowship, we have now a place that we can serve coffee. And that was all donated to us. And it's just another way to create discussion and create fellowship. A few months ago when we started that, I asked Evan and Anna Ray if they would be willing to do it. And they have just ran with it. We've nicknamed that the Holy Roasters, by the way. And so with that, Evan and Anna have been out of town the last 2 weeks, celebrating now their wedding and just kind of their time together. Great trip they're on, and I'm glad for them. They told us that, but I haven't had an adult, no offense to anyone here, this is a joy, not a negative, I haven't had any adult just say, hey, I'll step in and do that. And so every week I've had either teenagers or younger, mainly girls, no offense, guys, they just do it better, go in there and do it. And today I did go behind there, but again, we still had no adults, even though I was behind there, doing this. But those four young ladies just had it under control. So Harper, Hadley, Riley, Madeline, thank you. It helped my heart be full. From there we come to worship. Joseph McDonald, who works really hard, along with all of our song leaders, they have a class on Wednesday nights, learning new songs. He starts us out with one of those songs. It's probably new to you, but wow, the power that was in it. And I think about Joseph being a little boy who's grown to be a great man, leading us in our singing. And it filled my heart with joy. Then Harrison Dethridge came and he read to us from God's Word. Harrison's one of our teenagers here. And when I tell you, he's doing a phenomenal job with our social media. It takes somebody like Harrison, who's young and knows what they're doing, to do that. And he's been willing to step up. He spent all Sunday afternoon working on making a place to bring back a podcast last Sunday. That's a teenager who could have done anything in the world. But he decided he wanted to do that so that we can get God's Word out even more. That makes my heart full of joy. Jeff May came and led us in prayer. There was a time when Jeff was in my youth group. But he's such a great deacon in the church. And then I thought about Cody. Because Cody on Wednesday nights challenged us to find people of peace and have time to pray. On Wednesday, Jeff, along with our other men that are in our group, we went and we spent 2 hours in fellowship, and then we prayed together. Jeff is part of that. My heart is full of joy. And then Jason White, come up here. I'm so proud of Jason. Jason may be the smartest guy I know. And wow, what a great job he did directing our hearts. So when I tell you, my heart is full. I'm not crying because I'm sad. I'm crying because the joy overflows. What a blessing it is to be here. You see, without Jesus Christ, you don't experience any of that. Without Jesus Christ, there's temporary happiness. Even sin can bring happiness. But only joy, true joy, comes from Jesus. Harrison read to us from Nehemiah 8, 9, and 10. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn. I'm not mourning. Do not weep. I'm not weeping. For all the people wept as they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, go your way. Eat the fat and drink sweet wine and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready. For this day is holy to our Lord. And do not miss this. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. If you walked in weak today, you know why they were grieving? You know why they were weeping? Because they had been taken captive. You see, their walls had been broken down. Their security had been broken down. And all of a sudden, people were coming in and plundering them, and they ran a risk of being overtaken. And Nehemiah, who had, we talked about compassion a few weeks ago, was moved with compassion. He went to the king, and he went back, and then 52 days, they got those walls put back together. And Ezra brought them all together, and he stood on a platform, and he read the law to them, and they were moved. But he reminded them, don't cry. Don't weep. Because even though the enemy tried to get us, he didn't. And today we gather together and we read and we remind ourselves, the joy of the Lord is our strength. So this morning, I want to talk to you about something that should mark the life of every Christian on this earth. It's something the world craves but cannot fully understand it because they are apart from God. I'm talking about joy. Not just any joy or any happiness, but the joy of the Lord. In English class, you learn the word of is possessive. So that joy belongs to the Lord, and He's willing to share it with us all. Again, the joy of the Lord, it's our strength. You see, that's not a fleeting feeling. It's a deep, abiding reality that should carry us through every storm of life. Today you might have walked in here with a lot of bills. Today you might have walked in here with tremendous loss of a loved one. Today you might have walked in here and the doctor said, I do not have good news. But you can walk out of here full of joy. Because you and I belong to Him. Life isn't always easy. And I'm so thankful Jesus told us that. He didn't sugarcoat anything. He didn't just tell us what we wanted to hear. He loved us enough to tell us the truth, and He told us life would not always be easy. Again, bills to pay, sickness to face, relationships that may be straining on us. It might be husband-wife. It might be father-son. It might be children and whomever. But how can we have joy? What is the pattern? How do I get joy? How do I keep joy? You see, that has to be the question. And as I direct this sermon, as I was preparing for this sermon, that had to be the question I had to answer. How do I get joy? But how do you keep it? Because listen, when you walk, if we just came in here and Joseph led singing and Harrison read scripture and Jeff led prayer and Jason was ninth man and fill in the blank, whoever else does it, and we did all that, folks, I could be full of joy all day long, but we're going to leave out of here. So how do we keep it? I'm going to give you three ways today. Number one, Joy comes from trusting God's promises. In Romans 15, 13, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "May the God of hope..." Isn't that great? How do you view God? You know, a lot of folks, if you were to ask them, how do you view God? And in fact, there are a lot of people that became atheists or agnostic because they view God the wrong way. Oh, how can this God of love give all this punishment, all this pain, all this suffering? And if we're not careful, we view God, again, listen, there's a time, that old school saying, there's a time for that hellfire and brimstone, right? I get it. But God is not all hellfire and brimstone. He is the God of judgment. He is the God of punishment when that time comes. But if you read the Bible more often than not, He's referred to as the God of love, the God of peace, the God of mercy. That's who God is. He's the God of hope. And that's what Paul said. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. That's a promise. Joy comes from faith in God's promises, not in worldly circumstances. Today, when you hear these words, I need you to let them marinate in your soul. I need you to allow whatever distractions you have, whatever struggles you're going through, get them out of here right now and just let's marinate on these promises. They're not mine, they're God's. But as we do that, I want you to think about Abraham. In Genesis 12, here's what God tells him. I will make you a great nation. That's a promise. I will bless you. That's a promise. And make your name great. That's a promise. So you know what he said? He said, Abram at the time, I need you to leave. I need you to go to a place, because here's what's happening. Remember, the Tower of Babel had just happened, and they were trying to get to this unseen realm. And God had had enough. And so he scattered it all about. But he needed a nation that he could be lord of. All these other nations had their own false lords, their own false deities, if you will. But he said, I need a nation that I can be lord of. And from that nation, joy will come to this earth. Because Jesus Christ will come to this earth. So Abram, I need you. You think Abram understood all of that? No way. No way Abraham understood all that. But he did it. Because he trusted in the promise of God. Hebrews 11, the Hall of Fame of Faith, we call it. Hebrews 11:11-12 reminds us that Abraham trusted God's word even when it seemed impossible. You know what that trust brought? It brought joy. Trusting in the promises of God brought joy. Not because Abraham's circumstances were perfect. They were far from it. But because Abraham believed the God who spoke was faithful. John 16:33. Again, it's the passage where Jesus said, every day is not going to be roses. Every day is not going to be peachy keen. He said, because you lived in a cursed world, there's going to be trouble. There's going to be trials. There's going to be tribulations. But listen to the promise. Don't focus on that. Focus on the promise. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. That's a promise. And I'm so thankful for that promise, aren't you? I mean, tomorrow, many people will go to work, and you'll go to a place where you'll see the world. They'll be talking in languages that are not wholesome. They'll be talking about people and running their mouths about this, and negativity will abound, and they'll be bragging on the things that they did over the weekend, and all this will happen, and you'll be in this world, and then maybe you'll turn on the news, and you'll see people that are killing people that are raping people that are stealing from people that are just doing cruel things to do cruel things because people have a lot of money, they don't like them, and they're burning down their businesses, and all this cruelness is going on. But I want you to remember, because it's marinating in your soul, Jesus Christ has overcome this world. And when we trust in that promise, despite all the misery, despite all the hurt, despite all the evil, we will have joy. Romans 8:28. It is our family's verse. I've had to be reminded of it. Sometimes my children need to be reminded of it. Sometimes Michelle. But we try to hang everything we do on this promise. For we know all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. That's a promise. And I can't fix your hurt. And there are people here who are hurting. All my life I've been a fixer. If my parents happened to be in a disagreement, I wanted to fix it. If my brothers happened to be in a disagreement, I wanted to fix it. People coming to my office with broken lives, broken minds, broken hearts, broken marriages, and I want to fix them. But sometimes you can't. And I can't say that I can fix everything you have, but I can promise you this, all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. Buy into that promise, because it is impossible for God to lie. Buy into that promise and you will find joy. Revelation 21:4. I'm sure I'll use this passage Tuesday. John saw the New Jerusalem, and it was beautiful. Oh, it was so beautiful. Remember, John is on the island of Patmos. They think he's crazy. Remember, the church is under extreme persecution. Remember, the church had that great growth on all that evangelism and all that love, and then it suffered a great persecution. John, perhaps, is the last apostle alive on earth, and he's exiled to the island of Patmos. Jesus says, I've got to get the word out so they won't intercept it. So they won't take it, so they won't throw it out. So he revealed himself to John. And he said, John, write these words. And he got to what we know as chapter 21, towards the end of his letter. And he said, I, John, saw the New Jerusalem coming down as a bride adorned for her husband. And in that New Jerusalem, when he looked up, the crystal sea was around the throne, right? To me, that represents this. Around the throne of God is not rough waters. Around the throne of God, while we're here on earth, it's not rough, it's calm. but you still can't get to the throne because there's this sea. How about this? John looked up at that time and then there was no more sea. God wanting to dwell with us. And he said there's coming a day when God will wipe away every tear. There's coming a day where there'll be no more death. There'll be no more pain. There'll be no more sorrow. You see, that's a promise. And that's a promise we need to trust in. If we will trust in that promise, we will find joy. We've got to trust in God through trials. We got to understand that joy is rooted in God's promises, not in worldly happiness. In Psalm 16:11, the psalmist says, as Cody read to us so well, "In your presence is fullness of joy." Do we truly believe God's promises? Secondly, this morning, joy, we need to remember this, flows from obeying God's commands. It comes by us trusting in His promises, but it's going to flow in our lives. It's going to just keep flowing in our lives if we become obedient to Him. John 15:10, listen to these words. "If you keep my commandments," Jesus said, "you will abide in my love just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you." Why, Jesus? Why did you speak these things to us? Why did you tell us if we are obedient to you and obedient as you are to the Father, why did you say these things matter? He said, "I spoke them to you that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." Wow. If you keep my commandments, Jesus said, his joy will flow in us. You see, obedience and joy go hand in hand. Think about David, King David, before he's King David, or even during the time he's King David. In Acts 13:22, God calls him a man after my own heart who will do all my will. Now we know David wasn't perfect. But did you hear what God said? He's a man after my heart who will do all my will. David obviously wasn't perfect. But he loved God's law. In Psalm 19:8, he writes, "The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart." Obedience brought David joy. You believe that? Why? Because when you obey God, when we obey God, we're living in harmony with His design and plan. Today, joy isn't this magic potion that we have in a bottle that we can pour you a little bit and you can drink it and you're going to have joy the rest of your life. That's not how it works. The promise is to have joy. The promise is that Jesus overcame the world. The promise is that all things work together for good. The promise is there's coming a day when He's going to dry all tears and He's going to make no pain and no death, and all those things are promises. How do I get them? How does that become my joy? I have to be obedient to God. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It comes through obedience. The misconception is this. What happens when we disobey God? What happens when I choose a life where I'm not going to be obedient? You see, you know what? Satan also promises happiness. Think about what Satan promised Jesus Christ. If you think Satan's not going to promise you happiness, think what he promised the Son of God. You bow down to me and all this will be yours. Of course, Jesus knew how to answer him. Ironically, Jesus countered every word that Satan spoke through Scripture with Scripture. And ultimately, he said, get away from me. Get behind me. Because sin may promise happiness, but it will deliver misery. The proverb writer in Proverbs 13:15 writes, the way of the transgressor is hard. And I love that that's simple to understand, but that is very profound. The way of the sinner is hard. That's why we can't find joy in rebellion. If we truly want joy to flow, we want joy that's coming through us trusting in His promises. We want joy to flow, then we got to be obedient to God. But thirdly, this morning, how do we sustain it? To me, that's the biggest question of it all. How do I sustain joy? It's sustained by sharing God's love. Philippians 2, 1 and 2. I love that book. Paul's writing it from prison. And he writes there, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, and of one mind. You see, Paul's joy wasn't just do this for me personally. It was tied to do it for the Lord's church as well. He said the way you do it is you keep sharing the love and joy of God. The third key to this, sustaining this joy in our lives, is we got to live it out in community. Now listen, I have heard my entire life, we in the church of Christ, we strive to be the church of the Bible. Now listen, we have, okay, from a doctrinal standpoint, we've nailed it. Absolutely nailed it. But from a community standpoint, have we nailed it? Think about the early church. There were people in that community that had nothing. And nothing. They were full of joy. They ate their food with gladness of heart and simplicity. Why? Because they were washed in the blood of Jesus and they were part of community. They were part of a neighborhood. They were part of a family. A family when somebody didn't have it, they sold their possessions and they gave it to those who didn't need it. They were intertwined. They fellowship not just at a coffee bar, but every day in each other's homes and in the streets. The world was against them. The religion that they had known their entire life was against them. The most religious people of the day, the Pharisees and Sadducees, the scribes, the Sanhedrin, they were against them. But they found joy because they shared it all with others. That's who we must be, Azalea City. We must, if we truly want to be the church of the Bible, we've got to be those people. I'm not saying that if you have joy, you won't get angry. Listen, I've always been transparent with you, and the other day I got really angry. I went to the post office, the one out by the airport, because it's closer to my house, to pick a package up. And I saw somebody in a pickup truck that didn't have a bumper on it, and looked like it needed some body work, Johnny and David and others. I went around them. They were at the mailbox. I get out to Airport Boulevard, and I'm going to pick my kids up from school. And Siri is very smart, so I always try to put in there what's the most direct path. And she had me turning west on Airport and going up Snow and coming out that way because it was going to be harder to go down Schillinger to get to Cottage Hill, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm waiting to turn right on Airport Boulevard, and there's cars coming. And I try to be a safe driver. Well, this truck is now behind me, and they honk their horn at me. Now, listen, I'm about to tell you some things I'm not real proud of. So I look in the mirror, and I'm like, what? And they look at me like, what? And so the cars are still coming. And I look back in the mirror at them, and I guess they can see my scowl. And I went, like that again. So then I took my seatbelt off, and I opened the door, and I almost got out. Now, I'm not proud of that, but I was so mad. But something told me not to do that, because Terry, remember who you are. So I get to school, and my son had had a challenging day, and I said, hey, you handled that well, not like your daddy. And so I told him that. Now, I tell you that to tell you this. I wasn't going to share joy with that person. And I know that's comical, and I get it, but I really do want us to think about our reaction to things. I'm sitting here telling you I'm not doing it the right way because I just told you I messed up, and so I'm preaching to myself as well. But we really need to think about who we are. And listen, folks, I mean, I know I've said this before, but if the lady, the 16-year-old who's got 1 million things on their mind at Burger King gets your order wrong, I'm sorry. But I don't need to read about it on Facebook. What good is that doing? Listen, no offense, but I might block you for snooze you for 30 days if you do that. Because I don't need to read that, right? I don't care, really. My point of it is, what are we doing? Who are we? Do we really want to grow this place? Yes, Terry, we want to grow it. Then what are we doing? How are we reacting? Do people see joy in Jesus Christ living in us on a daily basis? That's an honest question. I'm telling you, I don't get it right all the time, and that's why I tell you these things. But I'm going to work on it. Because I want joy to be sustained in my life. And I want to share it with the community. And I want to be the church of the Bible. After Pentecost in Acts 2, verses 46 and 47, they continue daily with one accord in the temple. Try to get people to come back here twice a week. Being honest, they did it every day. Breaking bread from house to house. That's not just taking the Lord's Supper. They were eating together. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the church. Is that what it says? With all the people. Your waiter's going to mess up. Your $6 coffee order will get messed up. People will honk at you and throw their arms up at you. How will we react? Will we overflow with joy? What a picture that I believe the church of today, we've got the Scriptures right. But there are things that we need to work on. I want to be the picture of the early church of Acts 2, 46 and 47. You see, they weren't hoarding their faith, they were sharing it. They were serving, they were loving, they were encouraging, and they were full of gladness. Why? Because joy grows when you give it away. When you help someone in need, when you share the gospel with a lost soul, when you lift up a discouraged saint, you're not just blessing them, you're blessing yourself with more joy. It's the way God wired us. Ecclesiastes 5, 19 and 20, and we're getting ready to close. Everyone also to whom God has given wealth and possessions and power to enjoy them and to accept his lot and rejoice in his toil, this is the gift of God. For he will not much remember the days of his life because God keeps him occupied with joy in his heart. What does that mean for us? It means don't keep your faith in a box. Invite your neighbor to worship, or maybe just invite them to a meal in your home. Pray with that coworker who's struggling. Go ahead and teach that Bible class. Visit that widow. Share the love of Christ. And watch how your joy multiplies. I've kept you long enough. I started this lesson by telling you that just today, my heart is so full of joy. Have you ever been so happy that you just tears just flow? That's how I feel today. And I want you to feel that. I'm so thankful to God that he sent Jesus to die for me. That he allowed Jesus Christ to bleed, to suffer, to die, to be resurrected, so that I can be. So that I can have my sins washed away through the waters of baptism, contacting the blood of Jesus Christ. And so that I can also have joy. Today, do you have that? I can't give it to you, but I can point you to the one who can. Won't you come right now as together we stand and sing.